Thank you for joining us today on the At the Table podcast, where I strive to encourage and equip you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. This week at the At the Table podcast, we're going to look back at last week's message, do a little bit of investigation for the in-between, ask a tough question, and look ahead to this week's message that will be talking about Joseph. Let's get ready and let's get started. Let's look back. So last week we talked about how God was going to build a nation, starting with a man named Abram and his wife Sarai, who, by the way, were pretty old. And that's not a slam, that's just the reality. They also were very unlikely people that would be chosen to start a nation, but yet God chose to go that way. So let's recap a little bit on what we learned last week in Sunday service. In Genesis chapter 12, God makes a clear calling to Abram. Abram and Sarai, who were married, were called to leave the land they grew up in and go. And that's exactly what they did. Along the way, they came across various difficulties in this plan that God had laid out before them. You see, God had called them and told Abram that he indeed was going to be the father of a nation whose descendants were so numerous that you couldn't count them. But things weren't always easy, whether it was time or obstacles that lay in front of their way or just plain old bad choices. The road was a little bit bumpy. Finally, after 25 years, which included multiple times of God reassuring Abram and Sarai that they, in fact, were going to have a child, as well as entering into a specific covenant that included circumcision, as well as their names being changed to Abraham and Sarah, Abraham and Sarah finally had a child. And his name was Isaac, and he was most definitely the crown jewel of their eye. But this didn't mean things would start to get super easy at this point. In fact, they may have even gotten a little bit harder, because God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac to the Lord. And so Abraham did what Abraham does, and he grabbed the supplies needed, two servants, and Isaac, and took off to do exactly that. Well, in the midst of all of this, in the midst of Abraham tying up Isaac and preparing to sacrifice him, God intervened and said, "No, stop. I see now that I am more important in your heart than even your son Isaac." And so because of that, God made a way, and suddenly Abraham heard a ram in the thicket not too far from there, and that, in fact, was to be the sacrifice. Well, we kind of wrapped up there and saw that there were several things that we could walk away from. Number one, God specializes in working with unlikely people. And I don't know about you, but I am so glad that God chooses to work with ordinary, broken, sinful people and uses them for His glory. The second important thing that we could walk away with is that God is a promise-keeping God. And because of this, and because He is in control, we can absolutely trust Him. So the final question I posed to you on Sunday was this: is there a call in your life that God is asking you to do right now, where He's maybe not given you all of the details, but rather He said, "Follow me"? Are we going to be able to follow Him like Abraham did? And we say, "Yes, God, here am I." Now, there certainly is a lot more that happens between Isaac being born and nearly sacrificed to Joseph, which is who we're going to talk about next week. So I thought I would take a few moments to just kind of give a brief tour of what happened in between. Well, Isaac, in fact, grew up and got married, and he had two boys by the name of Jacob and Esau. And to say that there was contention from the very beginning is a small statement. There was, even from the moment of birth, a fighting, if you will, between the two for a place in this family. This even led to the selling of the birthright for a bowl of stew. Jacob was able to negotiate this with Esau. And then even later in life, as Isaac was getting ready to die, he was about ready to give the blessing to the oldest son, which would be Esau. But with the help of his mother, Jacob intervened and tricked his dad into giving him the blessing. And this meant that he had special birthright and special blessing from that family. Now, because of this, Esau got very angry. In fact, he was planning to kill Jacob, but Jacob's mom heard about this, and Jacob fled. In fact, he fled back to Haran, which was a stopping point on Abraham's journey at the very beginning of chapter 12. During this time away, there were many important events that happened in Jacob's life, including getting married not once, but twice, as well as accumulating large wealth. But in the midst of this, there was something going on. There was something going on in his heart, and he was being called back to reconcile with Esau. So on his way back, as he was preparing to reconcile with Esau, there was a night when he was by himself. He had sent the rest of his clan across the way, and he was wrestling with a man, the Bible says. And in the midst of this wrestling, we see that Jacob would not give in. And so in Genesis chapter 32, in verse 28, it says this, "Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome.'" In this reconciliation, we can see the changing of their hearts. Jacob then returns to Bethel. And this is where we start to get to next week's message. We're going to look at Joseph and his life. And to say that he was spoiled, well, that was a little bit of an understatement, but more of that in just a minute. One final thing before I move on to next week's message, and I wanted to just point out one of the questions in the book, The Story, I thought was pretty good. It says, "What might God be asking you to give up to follow him?" Uh-oh, now it got really deep. And so that's a fair question, isn't it? I believe that in Matthew 16:24, it says, Jesus says, in order to be my disciple, in order to follow him, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. In other words, we must take everything that is our desires and put it aside in order to follow him. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to Dale's message a couple weeks ago on June 2nd, but it was a really good one. The big point that he wanted us to walk away from is spending time with God is not about intensity or pace, but really it's about proximity. Proximity to him. And see, if we're trying to be in more close proximity to him, if we're trying to seek after him, if we're trying to follow him in all that we do, then we really need to be regularly or daily asking ourselves, what crosses do we need to bear? What do we need to sacrifice? What do we need to take off and sacrifice at the altar in order to follow God more deeply? So I don't know what it is for you, but I do know that there is likely something in your mind that's come up right now as you're listening to this message. So I would encourage you to do one of two things. One, write this down and share it with either a spouse or a friend or a close somebody that you can share this desire or thing that you feel God is asking you to give up or to take off to follow him. And then ask for prayer. The second thing you can do is you can talk to either myself or Pastor Dan or any one of the elders, and they would be more than willing to sit down and talk about this with you and commit this to prayer. Because I firmly believe if God has put this on your heart, and this message has stirred that up, that the Holy Spirit is at work. So I would encourage you again to ask yourself, what are you being asked to give up to follow Jesus? All right, well, let's look at the outline for next week's message. I've already told you that we're going to be talking about Joseph, but what exactly about Joseph? Well, we're going to start in Genesis chapter 37, where we see that Joseph is Jacob's favorite son. Yes, that's right. He had a favorite. And not only did Jacob have a favorite, but all the other kids knew about it. We also see that Joseph was in fact a dreamer. And I think perhaps God was giving him a vision of what was going to happen in the future, but he was a little bit too, green to know how to handle that appropriately. Then we see how Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery in Egypt. Then, while in slavery, he was enslaved to a man by the name of Potiphar, who was a very well-to-do man, who was the captain of the guard. And because God was with him, as it says, Joseph was put in charge of everything in Potiphar's house. While in Potiphar's house doing what he was told to do, one day Potiphar's wife made advances to Joseph, ones that were definitely not appropriate. Joseph refused, of course, but she considered to keep this up and to insist. And one day, while no one else was there, she even grabbed his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." Well, Joseph, of course, refused and ran away to the point of that he was left running away naked because she had his cloak. And in the midst of this, she used this as an opportunity to say that he did something inappropriate. And so the Potiphar really had no choice but to put Joseph into jail. Well, while in jail, we see that God had a plan for why he was in jail. In jail, he had an opportunity to hear the dream of two men, the cupbearer and the baker for the king or for Pharaoh. Each of them had a dream and they didn't know what it was going to mean. Well, the cupbearer found out because Joseph interpreted the dream because God gave him the answer that in 3 days he would be restored as the cupbearer. And Joseph said, "Remember me." Well, the baker would also have something happen to him in 3 days, but it wasn't quite as nice. In fact, he was decapitated and his body was hung for all to see. And that is exactly what happened. Both of these men had their dreams come true, but unfortunately, the cupbearer forgot about Joseph. Well, Joseph was promoted even inside the prison to be in charge of all of the things that were happening in the prison. If you see a pattern happening here, Joseph, no matter where he was used by God to see his plan come through. Well, one day, a couple years later, the Pharaoh of Egypt actually had two dreams and had no one was able to tell him what these dreams meant. The cupbearer then remembered at that moment, some 2 years later, that in fact, he knew someone who could tell Pharaoh what his dreams meant. So Joseph was brought from the dungeon to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh told him both of his dreams, and essentially both of the dreams were the same in and of themselves. There was going to be 7 years of prosperity, and then after that 7 years, there were going to be 7 years of severe famine. Well, Pharaoh was distressed. He didn't know what to do, and so he asked, "What should we do?" And Joseph had a good answer. He said, "In the times of prosperity, set some aside so that you have enough food to get through the times of famine." Well, the Pharaoh thought that was such a good idea that he made this guy second in command in the kingdom. In fact, he was called the deputy Pharaoh. The only person that was above him was Pharaoh. So in the midst of this, Joseph was placed in a high position of authority during a very tough time, which would be a famine. And because of this famine, many needed food, which also stretched as far as his family, his brothers and his dad. And so the brothers went and got food, and through a series of events, they ended up realizing who Joseph was. Joseph was, in fact, God's agent to be at that very moment in time. His brothers got worried that maybe someday if dad would pass away, that you know he would have retribution against them, and he reminded them, "No, who am I? I am not in the place of God. You intended this for harm, but God intended this for the good of others. In fact, to save many lives." So I'm excited to share this message with you on Sunday. I'm still working on it and crafting it to be ready for Sunday, but I can't wait to continue our journey as we continue through God's big story and how you fit in. One last thing for you before you go. If you're interested in being a part of the new small group we're starting, it's going to be on Sunday evenings starting in July once a month. It's for families. It's for all sorts of people, anybody who wants to come. But I do want you to know that kids are welcome and encouraged to come, and we will have age-appropriate activities for them as we study God's Word together. You might call it family church. Well, I hope this message finds you well, and I hope that you're excited on what's coming up this Sunday. And in the meantime, keep working on all the things you're doing for your spiritual growth journey this week. And don't forget to record your points inside the library on the chart that's on the wall. Have a wonderful day.
You have been listening to the At the Table podcast with Pastor Gary. I hope this episode has left you encouraged and equipped. Pastor Gary is the lead pastor of Grace Community Church in Alliance, Ohio. To learn more about the church, the ministries at the church, or to give to support Grace Community Church, you can follow the links in the show notes or go directly to gccofalliance.org. Have a blessed day.